This is a story about control. My control. Control of what I say, control of what I do. And this time I'm gonna do it my way. I hope you enjoy this as much as I do. Are we ready? I am. 'Cause it's all about control. And I've got lots of it.
You'll never guess what time it is. Well, you probably will, because it's time. It's time for our election season debut here on Armed and Fabulous. And my name is Mikester. I will be one of your glorious hosts. And joining me today is...
The Freedom Guy.
Woohoo!
In all the gloriness of remember the 5th of November... I think it's time that, being armed and fabulous, we take out our 45 caliber minutes and do as much damage as possible to some
paleo
basic...
Scum. Oh, wait, did I say that?
In a couple of words, yes.
Yep. All right, so just to clear out some, I don't know what you want to call it. Just to get through the red tape, we do represent the GSM caucus of the Libertarian Party, Outright Libertarians, and we have taken a hiatus from our podcast. So I'm sure you've been just breathlessly anticipating its return. We decided to go with a 45 caliber format, meaning we're going to do a 45 minute show now, because frankly, there's just so much awesome that most people couldn't handle a whole hour of it. So, you know, that's what we decided to do. But you can find us on the web at outrightusa.org, or you can check us out on either Facebook or Twitter at facebook.com and or twitter.com/outrightusa. Woohoo!
I think if most people had to get this much information in more than 45 minutes, their heads would explode.
I mean, I'm serious. We give people more intellectual ammunition in 5 minutes than most shows do in a whole hour. So I could just imagine how 45 minutes is still going to be quite a lot for people to handle. But we'll do our best to, you know, mix it up with some crude humor, and hopefully we'll keep it lighthearted.
Well, I want to say the reason we chose to have our show on Thursdays is because Thursdays is when Outright's post comes out on the Libertarian Party page on Facebook. And this allows us to address some of the, for lack of a better word, scum that we see posted there, and the vile comments that come from those that believe that brutalism is okay. So one part of our section will be talking about that during our show. So be prepared that if you haven't already seen that, you can always go to the Libertarian Party's page on Facebook and see that post. And feel free to comment and share and maybe even set some people straight, so to speak, there at that page.
Get it straight?
Well,
you are the host.
Right, so I just think that it allows us to have a 1-2 punch, so to speak, with our activism that happens on Thursday by having this show on Thursday. You know, a lot of times, you know, if you look at some of the freedom movements that have happened in the past, whether it be the suffragettes, that got the vote for women, to civil rights movement. A lot of those things happen with peace, and a lot of those activism and the gaining of those liberties and freedoms that are the rights of every individual happened through peaceful demonstrations, peaceful dialogue, but sometimes some of that happens with sometimes things that are a little bit less peaceful. And a lot of times that's because those that are with part of the paleo libertarianism and the brutalist movement, the only thing that they understand sometimes is someone being brutal right back at them. And then once we do that, we are always labeled as the special interest. So, which at some point gets very old.
It gets really, really old. And, you know, it's just, it's repetitive. It's, you know, I don't know, what really gets me about the whole special interest thing is that people can't kind of see past. It's like, I get that the way that people's movements are kind of subverted by the status quo establishment powers. It's a very predictable pattern. Basically, they see something that's kind of coming up from the people, liberation movements, and those are a threat, obviously, to state power, right? They are looking to consolidate and preserve their own control over the rest of it. So whenever they see something bubbling up from beneath, they've always got to try to like turn it around and subvert it and co-opt it and redirect that energy back to their own purposes. So that's really, really predictable. And like, we all get that, right? Like, that's part of the awareness that goes along with being a libertarian, is that, okay, it's very predictable that whenever there's a people's movement, the state will subvert it, right? So, to be accused of being a special interest, like some kind of a liberal left plot, when we know better, we get, like, I already know that. I already could have told you a long time ago that that's what the state would do. They would subvert the movement, they would turn it around, they would flip it on its head, and they would use it to grab more power. You're not telling me anything new, but, like, to accuse me, like, as an individual of just merely existing as, like, a walking, talking special interest, I mean, you know, being able to be a self-actualized individual is not, quote, a special interest. Like, it's literally my life. So, I don't know. It's just kind of like, the part that makes that so hard,
Mikester, is the fact that every single one of us look for those individual liberties and freedoms. And we have those that, you know, are basic in us just being an individual. What ends up happening, and what a lot of people in the brutalist movement or in some of the people that come from the right wing or the moral good or moral right compass that are within the party, what they forget about is, I have never once, and you've never once, and I don't believe that Outright as a whole or any member of the GSM movement, that liberty movement, has ever come out and said, hey, stop being a Christian because that's special interest. Stop being a heterosexual because that's special interest. You know, we have fully supported gun rights. We fully supported ending the drug war and consumption rights. We have fully supported the liberty and freedom of women as a whole. When you want to say that because of who I am, and I don't consider who I am to be a choice, I consider that I was born this way. But whether you believe that I was born this way or you believe that it was a choice, as a libertarian, you should be defending me even more, saying that is carry the freedom guy's liberty to be that away. Whether he chose it or whether it is something that is natural within him. So if I am an openly gay man, you should support that. You should support the liberty that comes along with that, whether it is I feel I was made this way or it's a choice. Because as libertarians, and I use the term loosely for those people, but as libertarians, they make choices every day. And I don't condemn them for the choices that they make.
So, speaking of condemning people for their choices, I just want to give some quick background, and then we will launch into our crosshair segment. So, for those who are maybe not familiar with all the minutia of libertarian theory, we've been referencing brutalism, and I would describe brutalism as basically an infested pimple on the asshole of paleo-libertarianism. And paleo-libertarianism was basically a – well, actually, I'll just go – no, I'll just say this real quick. This is the reason why our movement is totally, totally filled with Republicans, conservative, cultural conservative Republicans who think they are libertarians. This is why people can, like Ted Cruz can go on TV and call himself a libertarian and people believe it. And so the whole part of the whole reason we even need a GSM caucus, because it wasn't that long ago that the libertarian movement understood that we were that standing up for individual liberty for all necessarily implied, you know, that all meant all. But then this happened. So let's find out who's in the crosshairs today. Oh my goodness. So I don't have it. Okay, so January, picture it, January 1992. This little essay comes out, and it's entitled Right-Wing Populism, A Strategy for the Paleo Movement. Oh my gosh, never guess who gets named off in the very first sentence of this article. David Duke. Yes, that's right. David Duke, Mr., you know, whatever he was, Grand Wizard or this or that, KKK motherfucker. Blah, 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 blah. I won't even, like, continue to express anything more about that person because he's not the one in the crosshairs today. It's just, you know it's going to go downhill from there when the first reference they make is to history's most notorious bigot, right? Anyway, this individual who is in the crosshairs proceeds to lay out this strategy. And, like, he really, really, really thinks this is, like, a good strategy. This is how liberty's going to win. By building this weird coalition where, and here's the key of why this made sense to this person, and in some alternate universe, I could see how it would have made sense, minus the whole bigotry thing. But see if you can bear with me here. The philosophy of liberty was the classical liberalism of the founding fathers' time. So this Enlightenment philosophy that was telling people that they should let go of the aristocracies and the monarchies of old Europe and that they should turn towards a type of government where the power came up through the people. So a representative democracy, a representative republic, whatever you want to call it. They established a new kind of political structure, and that was called classical liberalism, right? Because they were opposing conservatives at the time, had to do with the aristocracy. Anyway, I digress. So constitutional era liberalism is now referred to as classical liberalism. And although libertarianism now embraces a lot more individual liberty than it did even then, this essay is all about how modern libertarianism should reach out to constitutional conservatives. Get it? Because of the connection through the Enlightenment. See where I'm going with this? So they took a philosophy that had already grown up through individualist anarchism and had already become so much greater than it was in the founders' time. Because remember, the Constitution was, you know, it was kind of, it had a few compromises that weren't quite as egalitarian as one would hope, right? So it wasn't exactly a shining example of freedom for, you know, women and slaves or even, you know, anybody else that didn't own property. But I digress again. So he thought it was a brilliant idea to build coalition with constitutional conservatives. And apparently he couldn't just pick out guard variety like Reagan conservatives. He had to go after the David Duke types. So that
well, the reason that he did that is because those individuals were, at that time, were not being recognized or having any said power within the GOP. And it was very much a, hey, look, this is the third largest political party, and while you may not win an election, you can for sure influence how something is done, and at some point maybe even play kingmaker so that you get your bigotry even heard or expressed openly, and you can do it in the form or in the guise of it being about liberty instead of the hatred that it really is.
And, you know, it's almost like that's all you know, it makes me, I don't know, that's all you need to know right there. That explains it all. If you ever ask yourself, how did this beautiful philosophy of liberty become just totally infested with these fringe types? How did the Ron Paul newsletters happen? That's how. The person who's in tonight's crosshairs, and we'll shout his name in a minute. In fact, let's just do it now. Murray Rothbard. I think we're supposed to say the name before the clip, but whatever. It's Murray Rothbard. You paleo-libertarian scumbag!
Well, and here's the thing. We can look at some of the things and what we have to realize as principled libertarians, because I've started to not say the word lino, because that's me saying that you can't call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. And that in some way says that, you know, I mean, sometimes when the people talk, when we talk about transgender individuals and they say, well, they're not a woman, even though they see themselves as women, we can't call them women. So really and truly, even though those people aren't principled libertarians, we could use the same logic. They can't call themselves libertarians. So I've started using the word principled libertarians. And what that means is that we have to say enough is enough. You know? Because enough is enough is enough. Okay. And we're not going to take it anymore.
We're not going to take it anymore.
Well, I mean, come on. Do we really think, do we really want a whole nother Bob Barr situation within the Libertarian Party?
Enough, no more. It's over. You know what? It's over, and I'm glad it's over.
Now, if you're going to act like a bitch, then you're going to die like a bitch.
That sounded like the most powerful handgun known to man.
Okay.
A 45 caliber, armed and fabulous. Pink gun shooting three times.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So, yeah, when we say paleo-libertarianism is dead, we mean dead. And take brutalism with you. And you know what? I'm just going to lump objectivism in, which actually has nothing to do with the two, but there's a lot of crossover there in terms of strands of libertarian philosophy where conservatives hide. They have all these kind of like, it makes me want to vomit. But so I'm glad it's over. Yay. Maybe we'll get it. We did already. I think Ayn Rand already got in the crosshairs before. She's supposedly gone too.
It's pretty much that we have taken, shall we say, it is very easy for those that are within those different movements to pepper hatred, dislike, their true moral religious right compass, whatever you want to call it, to pepper it with just enough truth and a sprinkling of liberty or freedom that people actually believe that that's what libertarianism is. And, you know, how dare they? How dare they abscond with the words liberty and freedom? How dare they think that it's okay to say that liberty for all does not mean all? And that they themselves are not the smallest, most vile special interest group that there is.
Great point.
How can I, when I say something about individual liberty in regards to someone who is transgender, because those are my fellow siblings, as not only as part of the GSM community, but they're my fellow siblings as far as individuals in the liberty movement. So if I'm standing up for them, and I do not happen to be transgender, who are you to say that that's a special interest group? When you yourself represent what many would call a special interest group, and where the fact is that you think that it's okay to be as brutal as possible, to be as politically incorrect as possible, to be as vile as possible in your speech, and then claim free speech when someone else calls you out on your hatred. If you have the right to spew crap and ignorant hate, then I have the right as an individual, no matter what group I belong to or who I identify as, to call you out on your stupidity.
Now, I just want to, let's give everybody kind of a concrete example so that they can recognize that there is a practical application for this in terms of calling for the state to abolish forms of harm that it is initiating against our population, right? Because we have this beautiful thing called the non-aggression principle. And it tells us that that the initiation of coercive force or fraud between individuals, states, or any other grouping of people is wrong. So the state cannot initiate force against individuals. Well, that's where compulsory gender policing comes in, because you may be able to take this for granted as a cisgender person. I know I didn't know for a long time. I had never thought twice about the fact that that little gender field on there, right, where it says M for me, I'm a male. I identify as male, and I was born male. So for me, the M has never been, I've insisted that I was being forced to carry around the ID at all and produce it on demand of agents of the state. That in itself is an aggression of an issue of an aggression, but I digress. If you happen to be transgender, suddenly that particular field on the identification card becomes an extra form of coercion. And it is not like an abstract theoretical thing. It's not about fields with a Z or whatever it is you want to call it. It is literally that if you were caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, not matching the gender on your ID, you can be charged with a crime. Sometimes even a sex crime. Dragged away to the wrong prison, housed with the wrong gender, potentially raped and murdered. It's real. It is a real actionable harm by the state that needs to be abolished.
Well, and to go a step further, if you're forced to go into a bathroom that you are not comfortable going in or do not feel that you belong in, many transgenders would face some type of police action once they entered that male or female restroom. If you entered the male restroom as a female, you could be charged with solicitation. If you enter the if you entered the female restroom because of your genitalia, but you look like a man, you could be, either one of those could be charged with a sex crime just for taking a piss or a shit, right? Just for washing your hands, and in some cases, maybe even going in there to reapply your lipstick. You could be charged with a sex crime, right? And if you went to the other restroom and you were found out, you could also be charged with a sex crime. So you have now made it impossible for transgender individuals to relieve themselves in public without the possibility of facing police action in some form or another, and the least being a basic sex crime that will follow them for the rest of their life, that will hinder their livelihood in some way based on where they can live, who they can be around, the jobs they can get. You've basically already said, before they even go into those restrooms, you've already said that they're second-class citizens. That should automatically make it, because they're being classified as a second-class citizen before, or being suspected of a crime before a crime actually happens. That shouldn't be a special interest. That should automatically be a libertarian fight that we are prepared to put all of our resources behind to make sure that doesn't happen.
Well, you know,
but once again, what do you have from the religious right? What do you have from the religious right? It's about the children. Might get traumatized in some form because of what they saw. Now, most, I would assume, and maybe I'm wrong, because I'm not transgender, that if you believe that you're a man and you're living as a man, when you go to the men's restroom, you're not standing at the urinal. You're going into a stall, and unless somebody knows any different, or unless they're actually trying to look at you in the stall, they would not know what your genitalia was. And the same thing would be said of someone who is a woman, living as a woman, that is a transgender woman, going into the woman's restroom. So your basis of that discrimination is just based on hate. No other reason.
No other reason. You know, I'm scrolling through some of the comments on this post. So for those who don't know, go to facebook.com/libertarians or just type Libertarian Party into the search bar and you will see a post on there. It's basically, it shows a rifle and it says arm trans women. And you would think this wouldn't even be a controversial statement because gun rights are one of our most cherished and unifying issues of any libertarian issue. Like, if you can't get us to agree on anything else, the very least we agree on is that the individual has a right to protect him or herself from the aggression of others, themselves from the aggression of others. So, but suddenly you put the word trans women there. And of course, if you believe that all people, all means all, right, then you should be able to insert any subset of a word there and it should be non-controversial, right? You should be able to say arm men, arm women, arm black people, arm, you know, arm gay men, arm trans women. You should also be able to say, which is what this meme does. And suddenly everyone was, well, not everyone. I should say I'm actually as disgusted as I am by all the bigots. I'm also, you know, I feel optimistic about the number of allies that came out. But, you know, it's kind of, they don't really erase the fact that all the bigots are here. So, yeah, I'm scrolling through the comments, and I invite you to. And if you do feel so inclined to maybe speak up as an ally on the thread, that would be helpful, too. But, I mean, we have the range here from saying that they are mentally ill to, but what about the children? Because these people are, right, so family-oriented that they allow their children to go to the bathroom completely unaccompanied. Right? So they want to harm the entire class of trans women as a group so that they don't have to, you know, go to the restroom with their children, which you would think that they would be supporting their children. But I digress. Again.
Well, and they also, remember that they also do not put any statistical facts when they want to talk about the possibility of mental health and other psychosis, and the fact that they don't mention that the majority and the high majority in the 90s of molestation that happens to children or sexual conduct that happens with children is done by straight men.
Right. The most common.
Very few.
Oh, go ahead.
I mean, very few women, not that there aren't women out there that do that, but very few women, whether they are born a woman or they're transgender women, actually molest children. And when you try to say that gay men are pedophiles, their percentage is far less compared to what straight men are. So, please don't start stating some type of psychological babble if you're not going to present all sides. I mean, you should probably be more scared of your 8-year-old son going to the bathroom by himself, and he's not going to be traumatized or molested by a transgendered man that is in that restroom. He might be a little bit more traumatized by either a straight pedophile, or if there happens to be, because you now have this law that trans individuals have to go to the restroom based on their genitalia, he might be more traumatized if a trans woman is in the male restroom at the urinal taking a piss. I think if I was an 8-year-old boy, that would probably traumatize me more than somebody who walked in that was a trans man and went to the stall, and I was in a stall beside them, and I heard them peeing. I mean, scientists say that we're actually better off, based on our bodies, if we take a piss sitting down anyway. So what science are you going – I mean, come on, guys. If you really want to talk science and based on your bodies and psychological and all that stuff, tell the whole truth or keep your fucking mouth shut. My rant is over.
Don't hold back. How you feel. Oh, my goodness. So we're down to about 10 minutes left, so we need to ramble towards some kind of conclusion.
Well, I think first we should also put out there that, look, guys, we're inviting all presidential candidates that, especially the ones that are seeking the Libertarian nomination, to come on our show and, like, you know, talk to us. We also, on our outrightusa.org, there's an actual questionnaire for candidates that you can take and get in touch with our vice chair, Stephen, and he will be more than happy to do a blog on you. That doesn't mean that, you know what, Bernie Sanders, I mean, y'all socialist, hey, Hillary Clinton, all you warmongers from the right and left, if you want to come and discuss with us, feel free. But we will not be giving you softball questions. We will not hold back. We will talk to you Republicans about how you hate the GSM community and really wish we'd go away. And we will be talking to you Democrats/socialists, whatever, about how all you do is blow smoke up the GSM community's ass to get their vote. And that, guess what? Whatever rights you're promising the GSM community, you can very easily take away from the GSM community. And our liberties and freedoms are not subject to your approval or whether you think it's something that will get our vote or not.
You know, speaking of presidential candidates, I mean, and not to kind of dredge up more conservative references, but did you see Austin Peterson's press release?
I didn't.
Oh,
to be honest, but
apparently, I know, because who actually pays attention to him anyway? All right, I do, because it's a big giant train wreck that is in slow motion that I'm just like, please, is this not happening? Please don't let this happen. But it is. The FEC, so there was a controversy as to whether the FEC was going to certify him as a candidate or not, because he will be old enough to serve as president if elected in November, but he's not old enough to serve
take
today.
The nomination.
Right.
Right.
So there was this big question as to whether the federal government was going to certify him as a candidate. Well, they did. So he is now trumpeting across the social media what a big giant douchebag he is, and how douchebags of the world should unite to, you know, install him as the king of all douches. And so we now get to watch a parade of douchebags for the next year and a half. Oh, we're down to a year. We get to see.
So what did they agree?
Well, actually,
what did the FEC say that he's allowed to run?
He's allowed to run, but it's not going to be another whole year, because we only have to get through to the convention so that he can lose the nomination, and then. At this point, I would roll out the red carpet for Gary Johnson, who I'm not a huge fan of in the first place either, but I would roll out the red carpet if it would knock Austin Peterson out of the way.
Well, don't forget that we have the Freedom Guy, me, yourself, who is willing to accept the VP nomination to, and I think that within itself, if we get some strong libertarians that are not part of that brutalist movement, or Republicans in disguise, or are, and if they're actual, I mean, heck, let's find some minorities. And I don't say, I'm not saying you got it, that you should delegate for me because I'm part of the GSM community. By far, that's probably the least reason you should pick somebody as your presidential or VP candidate, right? But I think if we had someone that was a minority seeking the VP nod, people that, such as Austin Peterson, might be less likely to actually seek the nomination because they would feel that they would be saddled with somebody that was a member of the GSM community or black or Hispanic or even worse, in his case, God forbid, a woman.
Right.
I mean, if we're doing it based on popularity, who's he going to get as his running mate? Libertarian girl?
Oh, bite your tongue, freedom guy. Bite your tongue.
Well, I mean, that's how stupid it is, right? That's how stupid it is to – we don't need to be – have our candidates be people because they're popular. They need to be because they're principled libertarians.
Exactly.
You know, and when you say you don't agree with the NAP, you got to have a really good reason. And I don't know of a really good reason.
I don't know.
I mean, that's just what I'm saying. I don't know of a really good reason. I mean, you know, it's sort of like people talking about Jesse Ventura. He won't even become a member of the party. I mean, at least freaking Austin Peterson is a member of the party. Not that that's something that we should, you know, like and praise him for, but dear God, I mean, let's. I mean, if your whole thing is we can't win anyway, we can't fucking win, then that's an even bigger reason to put principled people up to represent us as candidates, in my opinion.
I think you're right. And I guess there's not a whole lot left to say because we're down to a short enough length of time that we can't launch into another monologue, or really whatever the word would be when two people monologue, a bi-monologue. We can't go through another bi-monologue cycle because we have about 2 minutes left. So in summary, my half of the summarizing by mini bi-monologue would be we've got our work cut out for us. This show has returned to the airwaves just in time for a really what is sure to be a very entertaining, if nothing else, election season. It might end in a big, giant, tyrannical police state, but we're already in one, so we might as well laugh while we're doing that, right?
Exactly, and the Freedom Guys thing is, look, the way that we have principled libertarians is the fact that those of y'all that are principled libertarians, you become part of the process, and you become the delegates at your county level, local level, if that's parishes in Louisiana, the state level, and eventually at the national level, so that we have principled candidates and we have principled individuals that are out there being activists. And I applaud every one of y'all that do that on a daily basis. Amen.
Amen. My name is Mike Sturr, and we'll be back next week.
Freedom Guy out.